For Josephine Yen, gardening on sunny days is a way to clear her head and get out of the house.
If I go out there and then I do all those things, sometimes I feel better.
Still, it's not easy for her. After years of working physical jobs in manufacturing and a more recent car accident, her body isn't what it used to be.
So all those things now is very difficult for me to walk. I try to go to do garden, like to pull a weed, I just crawl.
She likes gardening, but she really likes spending time with her 23-year-old daughter, Lydia, who's visiting today. Josephine isn't an empty nester quite yet. She still has a few younger children at home, but she loves when Lydia is around.
I'm the mother. I love all of you, but I just know who is who. You know, between all of you, I know which one is which. It's doing what. I know all of you. You have a good heart. You're lazy. You're what? I know all of you one by one. I just don't want to tell. But for Lydia, Lydia don't have all those things. And everything just for Lydia is perfect.
The compliment makes Lydia look down and smile, half embarrassed, half flattered. Hearing this means a lot to Lydia, who's juggling a lot of responsibilities. For the last year, she worked a full-time internship and another part-time job at a hospital call center. That's on top of community organizing work, finding time to take her mom out to dinner once in a while, and helping her family hold on to healthcare, housing, and affordable food.
Me, I cook a lot beans, cook rice for my children, I cook vegetable soup a lot, and I cook fufu, ogali. I cook that a lot. It's my favorite food. I eat it every day. I never get tired of it.
For Lydia to make sure Josephine has enough money to buy those ingredients, she has to keep proving to the state that they still need help paying for food. That means Lydia has to keep tabs on every cent that comes into her mom's home, including her teenage siblings' income from a hodgepodge of part-time jobs, her mom's medical bills, and more. Basically, Lydia's had to become her family's case manager, financial expert, and medical liaison. And if for some reason she falls behind, it has pretty drastic consequences. It means her mom and younger siblings might not have enough money for food, gas, or other necessities.
It's been like really stressful. Part of the problem with like her not getting food stamps some months is like I'm super busy and she'll bring the paperwork to me. And then by the time I like finish it and send it back, it's like very close to the deadline. They receive it late, and then they reject it.
For the Yens, it can feel like a constant battle with surprise losses of territory, like when Lydia lost her Medicaid coverage despite special pandemic protections that should have kept it in place, or when Josephine's disability benefits got slashed because state staff thought she was on another program she says she wasn't. And they're not alone. Advocates at New Hampshire Legal Assistance say these kinds of issues are common across many public benefit programs administered by the state and federal government. Paperwork snafus, technical issues, the list goes on. State officials say they're aware of some of these problems and working to fix them. In the meantime, families like the Yens have had to come up with their own solutions. But sometimes those don't always work out. For example, even though Lydia recently got official permission to speak with state staff on her mom's behalf, it can be hard to get them to call her back, she says.
Like she'll tell them to sometimes contact me and they never do, even though I am literally her daughter and she's giving verbal permission.
In the past, Josephine tried using translation services, but the two say it didn't work out well. Lydia feels like she's her mom's best advocate.
I, like, from a young age, had to pretty much, like, speak on behalf of my mom with her, like, in my presence because they treat me differently because I sound, like, my accent is not an African accent.
Lydia mostly grew up in New Hampshire, not Sudan like her mom, and she doesn't speak her native Acholi. So when she's helping her mom navigate these programs in English, she just tries to avoid weedy technical terms. But when her mom is left to talk to state workers, Lydia says they often use a lot of jargon and seem not that interested in her mom's individual needs. Officials who oversee these programs at the Department of Health and Human Services say they're working on this, trying to better serve Granite Staters of all different backgrounds. Part of that, they say, is building stronger relationships with the state's immigrant and refugee communities to better understand their needs, beyond just language access. But Lydia says whatever the state has been doing hasn't been enough.
Like, I'm sure my mom's not the only immigrant experiencing this. It's like a lot of these departments, like, have a lack of cultural competence. Like, whatever training that they do receive, it's not adequate enough.
And Lydia and Josephine also feel the weight of racist and inaccurate stereotypes many people hold that immigrants take advantage of public benefits, despite the fact that research has found immigrants are less likely to consume welfare benefits than U.S.-born citizens. Josephine constantly feels like she has to climb out of the box people put her in.
I'm a hard worker. I work in the morning, I work in the evening. I take care of my 5 children. I cook for them. I don't buy food in the restaurant. I cook, I clean, I do everything. I go to work. It's like that. I'm busy the whole time I was busy. But this time I get hurt. Why don't I get help like the other people?
But that fight to get treated like other people, it's really worn Josephine down and made her feel like she doesn't belong in New Hampshire.
So that make me like feel like I'm not welcome in this country. I feel sometimes like I have to go back in Africa. Because I'm suffering.
She feels alone here. The social safety net available for her in New Hampshire, it's time-consuming. She and her daughter have to fight just to use it. But at home in Sudan, she says, there would be something else available. A community that would care for her.
People can come help me. Because there you cannot do everything by yourself. And then that it will be enough.
But her kids, Lydia included, are building their futures here. And so she stays in New Hampshire. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Allie Pham.